Let's pray, and then we'll talk a little bit about mentoring or building the lives of ladies. Father, again, we extol thee, our God, O King, and we bless your name forever and ever. Every day we will bless you, and we will praise your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, and your greatness is unsearchable. So, Lord, during this time, I pray you would give me the words, the strength, the abilities. It's all of you, to help these women to learn how to build the lives of other ladies. So, Father, I pray that you would guide this time, and I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. There's a lot here. I'm going to try and consolidate some of this here. I want to be done by 4:40. Several things when I'm mentoring women, and I'm just going to give you some of these lists of areas that I want women to learn. And this is also what I mentor my students when I'm teaching. That's always an opportunity for me to bring them back to truth. Okay, it's truth that will transform the life. It is truth that sets free from bondage. It is truth that women have to learn to live by. And one of the biggest battles is that we as women are very emotionally based. We're very feelings oriented. Would you agree? Okay. And, you know, one of the things that is a challenge is that women are, the biblical Bible says, we are the weaker vessel. Okay. That's a biblical truth. We have a need for protection and for security. Women long for love, acceptance, and security. Would you agree? Women want that love. They want acceptance. They want that security. The men are dreamers. Men are geared into action. They have no problem starting this business on their own. They don't know where the paycheck's coming from, but boy, they're going to invent something new and they're going to go for it. And you're sitting there, and how are we going to pay the bills? You know? And they're saying, hey, it's going to be great. It's going to be okay. And women tend to be much more fearful. We have that more emotional base, tend to live by feelings. We are more compassionate. I'm a football fan, I confess. Okay, I know Harold doesn't like football, but I like football. But when these men are always waving, they're never saying, hi, Dad. They're saying what? Hi, Mom. So the areas that I usually gear in on when I'm working with women is, number one, their view of God, okay? Because their view of God shapes their life. What you believe about God will determine your behavior. Okay? Which really, it's going to determine everything about you. And I draw up and I walk them through. I says, right thinking about God leads to right actions, leads to right feelings. It says, right thinking about who is the Lord and what is his plan? Not what is my plan, but let's stop and let's say, okay, who is this God that we are serving? I want them to have an exalted and right view of God because that shapes their life. If they don't think right, their actions will not be right. If their actions aren't right, then of course their feelings aren't going to be right. And what many women do is they invert this, okay? What many women that I have worked with, I found, do this. These are my feelings. I'm sad. I'm happy. All of this is happening. And then their actions follow their feelings. And here is their view of God down here. God is either good or he's not good based on my feelings and my circumstances. Ladies, that's upside down. It never works. Those are people who are like this, okay? They're up, they're down, and again, it's a constant challenge. So when working with ladies, I often will ask two questions. Again, and this depends on where they're at. If they're brand new Christians, I'm not going to ask these questions. But when I'm working with women who say, you know, I really need to be discipled, I really want to grow in the Lord, I will ask two questions. And I will say, do you want God's best? Do you want God's absolute best? I said, is your passion, is what is most important to you, that God be glorified and accomplish his purpose, or that things go your way? I'll say that again. Do you want God's best? And are you most concerned that God be glorified and accomplish his purpose, or that things go your way? And the reason I ask that is because a lot of people are taken back and say, well, isn't God supposed to make me happy? What do you mean by that? So I'm going to always launch them into, what is your view of God? What is your source of truth? Is it the internet? Is it what you're watching on TV? Is it what you're hearing? What is your source of truth? And there are many subjects I can go into, but let's look at two scriptures here. One very familiar, Titus chapter 2, verses 3 through 5. And again, this is a mandate. The aged women, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness. Again, they're the example, and this is what, of course, the goal for women to become. Not false accusers. In other words, not gossips. Not given to much wine. Not out of control. Okay? And I'm not going to go into details with that. We don't have time. Teachers of what? Good things. What do you mean good things? Things that build, things that edify, things that glorify God, things that help others to walk closer to the Lord. Good things. And I'm going to turn in just a minute to 1 Timothy 5 and talk through what those are. To be discreet. Okay, what does discretion mean? That's a lost art today. People blurt. Well, I'm just going to say what's on my mind. Well, the Bible says the fool vents all his feelings. You know, teaching them to be discreet, okay? Hold your tongue. Don't just say what you're thinking and what you're feeling. Let everyone be slow to speak, quick to hear, slow to wrath. Discreet, chaste, that's pure. Of course, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. So in other words, one of the goals in mentoring is, my first question, do you want God's best? Are you concerned most for God's glory, his namesake, his holiness, or is it all about your agenda? Because if somebody just wants their agenda, you really can't help that person at that point. I will often say to my students, I will say, if you really want to give your best and try your best in class, I said, I will do everything within my power to help you succeed and to do well. And for me, that means having them into my home. It means going over to the dorms. It means spending time with them, helping them to learn, helping them to study. It's exhausting. This is, if you have an I don't care attitude, I cannot help you. I can pray for you. But until you come to that place where you're concerned about, I want God's best. Now, if somebody's dealing with, I really don't care and has lost hope, that's a whole different story. There's just so much I could share here, you know, on helping women to receive hope. But I'm going to focus here on mentoring those who truly want to grow in godliness. I mean, I have whole, and there's messages, and Christ Life Ministries had these available, where I talk about how to counsel women who are suffering, how to counsel women through loss, through abuse, all of those things, but it would take days to do all of that, so I can't really go into that right now. But let's turn to 1 Timothy chapter 5, and this has been a pattern for me as a widow, okay? 1 Timothy chapter 5. And again, it's talking about the widows in this context. And of course, verse 9, let not a widow be taken into the number under 80 years old, 60 years old, having been the wife of one man. So right there, she's a pattern, okay? And it says, well reported of for good works. So again, this is what God is saying. This is what I'm helping to mentor women and say, what does God desire of you? What does the Lord require you? To fear him, to love him, and to walk in all his ways. But it goes on to say in verse 10, if she has brought up children. So a big part of mentoring women is helping them, again, which again Titus 2 says, How do I love my children? How do I train my children if I'm a mother or those who influence, again, toward godliness? I'm going to do a session tomorrow, a breakout on prodigal children. And I often say, as we influence, we don't cause our children's behavior. And sometimes, you know, we say, well, if I do all the right things, we'll stop right there. None of us does all the right things, not even close. And, you know, you say, will my children turn out right? I can't answer that question because they have the freedom to choose. And God is the only one who can change hearts. But we are still responsible, the Bible says, to bring them up in the nurture and admonition, to teach them as we walk, as we go through the house, as we sit, at all times, the Word of God. If she has lodged strangers, given to hospitality, in other words, washed the saints' feet, relieved the afflicted, diligently followed every good work. So what's the mandate here? In mentoring women, I'm going to say, understand, ladies, your role. Understand your role. You know, we're going to walk through your view of God. And this takes time. You know, tell me what you believe about God. How do you view your God? And again, that opens up all kinds of windows of opportunity. Well, God is, I know he's good, that's what I've been told, but then why are all these bad things happening to me? I've been told that God is faithful, but it seems like everything's falling apart. And so I've always got to bring them back to, and again, this comes through discipling my own heart, what do you believe about God? Do you understand his greatness? Do you recognize his holiness, his perfections, his sovereignty, his absolute right to demand exclusive devotion? Do you understand who your God is? And that will take an eternity, but I'm always trying to bring them back to their view of God and their view of the Word, how much time they're willing to invest in the Word of God. But when it comes to these practical aspects, I will often say this, is understand your role. Women have been inundated with a feministic mindset. Now, do you know what I mean by that? Okay. What is the feministic mindset? And I was a feminist before I was saved, so I understand this. That's the idea of, I can do anything a man can do. I can do it just as good. I can do it even better. And whatever he can do, I'm to be considered a complete equal, etc. And I will not, submission, obedience, forget it. The feministic mindset, and we see that permeating, empowerment of women. Have you seen that? Okay. Ladies, feminism has liberated women right into bondage. Now let me ask you a question. These are what? Would I use these glasses to clean my toilet? In the sense of scrub the toilet? Why not? They're not made for that, okay? Would I use them to clean my furniture, you know? Why not? They're not made for that. They're designed for what? Grandma glasses. I used to tell my students on Guam, and I said, now, if I want to go from Guam back to the States, there's only two ways. I can get on a boat, or I can get on an airplane. I said, now suppose I wanted to take my Toyota Corolla and I wanted to get on the runway and I wanted to rev it up as fast as I could and see if I could take off. Will that work? And of course they said, Mrs. Trahan, no. I said, well, suppose I wanted to take one of the 767s and tool around downtown Guam in an area here, Tumon, and go around there just looking at me. And I said, so, what's the point I'm making? What is the plane designed to do? What is the car designed to do? I said, so which is better? And they said, well, neither. They said, it depends on, I mean, one was designed to fly, one was designed to this. I said, exactly. I says, the scripture teaches God made them male and female. I says, it's the complementary how God made it, established male headship. I says, the biblical role is that we are equal in worth, in value. Christ died, there's neither, for all of us, neither male nor female, but we're different in function. And I said, as long as ladies have bought into this idea that, you know, I'm not gonna do this and this. This is men. I'm gonna be equal with them in every respect, and I'm not gonna submit to him. He needs to submit to me. That attitude is then what we're trying to do is we are trying to do to use this to clean my toilet. Because we weren't designed for that. God said very clearly here, this is the things, these are the good works given to hospitality, wash the saints' feet, lodge strangers, brought up children. This is God's command. Titus 2, love your husbands. You say, well, I don't need help loving my husband. Is that true? Come on, ladies. Have you ever, if you're still married, have you ever struggled with and said, I really don't want to love him and submit to him today? Love your children. Is that a challenge? You bet it is. You know. And so, again, I'm going back to what is the way that I can mentor women? How do I build their lives? Well, I'm going to bring them back to Scripture. I says, this is what is important to God for you as a lady. These are the practical things. Obedience to your husband, loving your children, following every good work. But none of that will come to pass unless, I said, there are certain things in place. And the first one, of course, is I said, we need to grow your view of God. You need to build a biography of God. We did this at Northland year after year after year, where we had our new students build a biography of God. And they would start in the Psalms, and they would, and I believe it that at the Wilds Camp, Marty Collier has a wonderful book called, and I don't remember the name of it. Lynn, what's it called? How well do I know my God? I believe that's it, Marty Collier, and it's literally it's building a biography of God, because ladies, when I look at the practical, God always puts being before doing. That they're never going to be lovers of their husbands, lovers of their children, discreet, chaste, keepers at home. They're not going to diligently follow every good work or do these things until we put the first that is most important first. So I want them to build a biography of God. Okay, who is your God? Do you understand how he is your provider? He is your strong tower. He is your righteousness. He is your sanctification. He is your cleanser. He is the lover of your soul. So why? Right focus. How have I survived all of these years? Constantly truth, truth, truth. So I've got to hit on the spiritual before I hit on the physical. So I talk about their view of God then and work them through their view of God. I go through the Psalms with them, help them build their biography of God. And then I'll say to them, I says, okay, you write down what are the areas you struggle with. I just shared two of mine, fear and discouragement, some rejection, some hopelessness. I said, all right, now we're going to search the scriptures and find specific scriptures that will teach you truth in those areas. And I said, it's not enough to memorize it. You've got to meditate. That's a lost art. I said, what's meditation? It's literally worrying is the wrong kind of meditation. A person who worries is rehearsing it over and over and again, but it's the wrong kind of meditation. He says, take the truth, write down, this is what I'm believing, this is what I'm feeling, and this is the truth. And you rehearse it. That's what I would do. I would walk through my apartment, through my house, over and over, and I would say, Lord, this is what you say, because I was saved out of immorality. This is the will of God, even your sanctification, that you abstain from fornication. Lord, you have said to flee youthful lusts, to flee ungodly lusts. That the grace of God teaches me to deny ungodliness and worldly lust. So I will have them, you know, you write down, what are your struggles? What are you battling with? You know, doubt, fear. And then, again, this is a process that takes time. You walk them through, what does the scripture teach? View of God, view of God, view of God. Okay, then I want to teach them the importance of this. Okay, their view of the word. His word is his will, and his will is his word. Too many people have their devotional plan, and they will spend, and the Lord knows, 5, 10, 15 minutes, close the book, and that's it for the day. Now let me ask you a question. I've done this often. If you're a married woman, and your husband comes to you in the morning and says, I've got 10 minutes, I'm going to tell you what I want, and you've got 10 minutes to tell me what you want, and then you ignored each other for the remainder of the time, would you have a vibrant marriage? Would you? Okay. Ladies, this is a relationship where we are dialoguing continually with the Lord. And I, you know, it's not, okay, now you need to spend this much time. I will often say, you dig in, you mine the treasure chest of God's word, and I want to give them tools. And again, I did a message on studying God's word for yourself on how to get into this book and mine that treasure chest. But I will say, okay, we're going to do a study on this. It may be a book study, it may be a topical study, but walking through, helping them to understand that this book must be absolute priority. The scriptures are very clear about this. Thy words were found and I did eat them, and they were unto me the joy and rejoicing of my heart. I will run the course of your commandments. I have people who've asked me, they said, well, what is your pattern? Now, sometimes I veer from this, but my pattern that I like to do, I do have a devotional plan. I use some of the Bible apps, I confess. I went through four streams where you read through the Old Testament once, the New Testament twice, and Psalms, I believe, two or three times. I will try and read five Psalms a day. I'm not always successful, but if I said the first, then I'll do the 31st, number 61, 91, I'll read a proverb. And I've divided Psalm 119 up into three sections, so I will go through that. I try to go through that three times a month. Okay? Why? Because I'm saying, Lord, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do all according to all that is written therein. Why? You'll make your way prosperous, and then you'll have good success. So the two biggest foundations in mentoring women is that they learn to have a right view of God and a right view of God's word, and that they are willing to invest in this book. I'm going to make a statement here, ladies. The degree of your passion for the word of God reveals the depth of your relationship with the God of the word. Okay, I'm going to say that again. The degree of your passion for the word of God reveals the depth of your relationship with the God of the word. If a baby is not eating, what do we think? They're either sick or not living. Ladies, if there is no hunger or thirst or desire for God's word, that tells that individual something is wrong. If a person has no desire to get into this book, to, as the Bible says, desire the sincere milk of the word, then something is wrong. So when I'm mentoring women, I want to help them to understand, what is your view of God? You've got to build your biography of God. You've got to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. 2 Peter chapter 1, very clear. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. So where is that grace and peace? It's bound up in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. According as his divine power has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And besides this, here we go, giving all diligence, add to your faith what? Virtue, holy moral character, moral excellence. If women are watching trash, listening to trash or immorality, right there, you've got your faith. You've got to learn, as Brother Harold said, subtract some things. Add to your faith virtue, holy, moral excellence. Lord, this offends your holiness. Not going there. Not watching this. Not reading this. Not listening to this. And to virtue, knowledge. And to knowledge, temperance, I believe, is next, or self-control. And to self-control, patience. Oh, that's hard. And to patience, godliness. And to godliness, brotherly kindness. And to brotherly kindness, love. And again, what's the whole point here? the Word of God. And sometimes women say, you know what, this sounds like a lot of work. Exactly. Exactly. Tozer says, the person who's content to spend their minute with God is the same one that's down at the altar all the time with their consistent failures. So again, my passion is to help women say, understand, you've got to have an exalted view of God. You've got to dig into this book. Let this book transform your life. Let the Word of God dwell in you richly, extravagantly, in all wisdom. And again, I know this is snippets, but I only have 45 minutes. And then, and again, I do have, there are messages, and I think they have quite a few of them here, where I've walked through your view of God shapes your life. I have another one on, again, the Word. And then, again, teaching them and helping them to understand prayer. The four words for prayer are used in Philippians 4. Prayer, supplication, thanksgiving, and requests. And again, saying, ladies, learn the beauty, the marvels, the wonders of prayer to the God of glory. Learn to listen to Him. You know, because the practical is not going to come until these are in place. I can give them all these things. Okay, now you need to love your husband. These are the practical things. Well, ladies, doesn't Jesus say, apart from me, you can do? And what does he say before that? Abide, remain in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can you except you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, the same brings forth much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. So again, the principle of the Word and the view of God in prayer is abiding. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you. Abide in you. Says, otherwise, guess what? You're not going to love your husband the way you should. You're not going to love your children. You're not going to be a lover of hospitality. You can't do these things. I can teach you all the practical things, but I'm putting the cart before the horse. So most importantly are those areas, your view of God, your view of the Word, and prayer. Teach me to pray. I say, Lord, how did you pray? I love the prayers in the Old Testament. Hezekiah, Daniel, Ezra, Nehemiah, Paul. How did Paul pray? And one of the things I'll touch on in sessions as well as with ladies, I said, look at Paul's prayers. And he says in Ephesians 1, you know, we cease not to give thanks unto you, making mention of you in our prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, view of God, would grant unto you what? The spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened. What is the goal for mentoring women? That they may know what is the hope of his calling. What are the riches of the inheritance of the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe? What's Paul doing? View of God, view of God, view of God, view of his word, prayer. Ephesians 3, for this reason I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family on heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be what? Strengthened with might by your spirit in the inner man. So what are you praying? Lord, please strengthen me with might by your spirit. Let Christ dwell in my hearts by faith, that being rooted and grounded, I may be able to comprehend what is the depth, the length, the breadth, the height, and to know the love of Christ that passes knowledge, that I may be filled with all the fullness of God. You pray that for your children. You pray that for others. That's the mentoring, right view of God, right view of prayer. Philippians 1, their love would abound more and more in our knowledge and discernment, that they would approve the things that are excellent, that they would be sincere and without offense until the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness. Do you see the emphasis here? Colossians, might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. So again, my focus is primarily in those first months on the spiritual. Because I understand, ladies, that if that's not in place, all the practical is just going to be in the arm of the flesh. And all that will do is lead to failure, frustration. Does that make sense? Okay. That's why what is most important is that their hearts be spiritually knit together. Truth, truth, truth. View of God, view of His Word, prayer. And then I will walk them through the importance of perseverance. Women can easily lose hope. Women can easily want to quit. I thank God for a father who was a World War II veteran. So sorry. Who that man drilled into me. Don't quit, don't quit, don't quit, don't quit. Keep your eye on the goal. You're not home yet. Anyone even a believer? He's talking from a war perspective. And I remember asking my daddy this question. I said, Daddy, did it ever occur to you to disobey your commanding officer? Do you know what he said without one second's hesitation? He said, never. Be good soldiers. Endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that wars entangles himself with the affairs of this life that he may please him who's called him to be a soldier. So I walk them through and explain to them, you know what? This is warfare, ladies. This is not a playground. This is a battleground. And many are the wounded and the slain. And I will often, you know, share with them, and I says, you need to expect opposition. You need to expect that the enemy is going to attack you, and what it means to persevere. And then I'll bring them again to Scripture. Romans chapter 5. We glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And then I will go through Romans 8, and I will say, okay, with all these things that you may be going through, what can we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? And rehearse all of those, what God has done. When my husband died, I remember rehearsing that, sitting there thinking, Lord, my life is over and my life is destroyed. And immediately God brought Romans 8. And as I walked through that passage of Scripture, if God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? And I walked through, I says, for I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creation will be able to separate us from the love of God. So perseverance. And I said, you know what? God has promised. Nothing can separate you from the love of God. God has said, and he cannot lie, that he will finish the work he began. God has said he will never allow you to be tempted above what you're able, but will that temptation make a way of escape? And so again, the principles, and I'm giving you categories, is I start with view of God. I then walk through the Word. What is prayer? What does it mean? Be real. Take the mask off. And then I walk through perseverance. Understand the battle. Understand your identity. You're never going to make it through the battle if you don't have a goal. If you don't understand what the whole purpose is, and that's why I said God's glory, lives transformed. And, you know, again, keep your eye on the mission. I love this statement. I love this statement. Keep your passion for Christ. Keep your eye on your mission. Keep your relationships right and let the heathen rage. Keep your passion for Christ. And I will say this. Keep your eye on your mission. The glory of God, the glory of God, the glory of God, the good of others. Christ came to seek and to save the lost. And keep that eye on your mission. Keep your relationships right as much as possible. And you know what? Let the heathen rage. So perseverance. And I'll often walk them through the story of the Syrophoenician woman. I love doing that story when I taught women of the Bible. I said a woman who understood what it meant to persevere when there was so much against her. Perseverance. And then other areas that I'm going to touch on is learning to minister to others, to every day, every opportunity, die to self. I said, your life, you want to become a life message. A message born in a head, intellect, will touch another head. A message born in a heart, emotion, will touch another heart. but a message born in the life where God does a deep work in and through you will become a life's message that is salt and light to a lost and dying world that says, I want your Jesus. You know, salt does three things. It prevents corruption, it makes you thirsty, and it adds zest. Ladies, in mentoring women, you want to make them thirsty for Christ. Because there's a scientific principle, it's called osmotic pressure. Water follows salt. And the Bible says that Jesus is the fountain of living waters. And in Jeremiah, it says, my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and have hewed out cisterns, broken cisterns, which can hold no water. So in mentoring women, I want to help them to see a life message as a person that has allowed God free reign. Lord, interrupt this life. Do whatever you need to do. I surrender fully to be a life message so that I can bring glory to your name and that I can be salt and light to a very dark world. And there's a price to pay. But through that, that the living water would flow through you and others would be thirsty for the living God. So that, again, ministry to others, becoming a life message. And then I will walk them through being an encourager, building up lives. How long does it take to tear down? You remember, most of you remember the Twin Towers? 2001. How long did it take to build those? I don't know exactly. Over 20 years, I think. How long did it take to destroy them? To maybe an hour and a half, 2 hours. And Brother Moore touched on this, and I always say, use your words to encourage. Build, build, build. And sometimes you must correct, but that's all with the idea of building their lives. I said, be careful. I often pray, Lord, set a watch before my mouth. Keep the door of my lips. Keep my tongue from evil and my lips from speaking deceit, guile. Open my mouth with wisdom and in my tongue be the law of kindness. And then I'll walk them through principles of being compassionate. I have a whole message on compassion. And once, and this takes time, okay? This takes time. Once we've walked through, and we're always touching on these areas, when I teach my students, women of the Bible, women counseling women, women teaching women, when I did that at Northam, I would consistently walk through these. View of God, view of His Word, prayer, perseverance, ministry, compassion, encouragement, you know, battlefield, trials. And I wanted them to come out. I says, I want you to think biblically. So that when you go out and work with these individuals, that you can teach them to love God, to love His Word, to love God's people, and to reach a lost world. Those are, again, main areas that I will work through, and I have specific areas of Scripture I will walk them through, and then, of course, then we get to the practical. But one of the greatest tools I found in mentoring other women, which I still have the privilege of doing, I've even done it at my church back home and still work through it, is I teach through women of the Bible from the Old Testament all the way to the New Testament. And I begin with Eve and walk all the way through, and yes, I include Martha. And I take a little different take on her. Yes, she gave priority to secondary matters, but all the way through, for whether it's Tamar, I walk through Bathsheba, Potiphar's wife, Leah, I walk through Rachel, and all these different women, their struggles, their strengths, and their weaknesses. And, you know, women have told me over and over again, it's not me, but they've said, those studies have transformed my life because I've learned, you know, how they responded and what God did through their lives. And that has been a tremendous tool in mentoring other women. Is teaching them through the women of the Bible from old all the way to the New Testament. There are some good books out there. There are some not so good books on that. Okay, but this is the book. Okay? This is the book. And that has been a tremendous tool for mentoring because I have found in doing that, I can touch on just about every area, from women who are unloved, from women who have been abused. I use Tamar in that. From women who have been immoral, and had moral failures, from those who can't have children, from those who are deceived, and all the way through, you will find, as you go walk through from Eve and all the way through the process, all the way to the end, the tremendous mentoring tool of teaching through women of the Bible. Okay, and if you're interested in that, I have a lot of material. I've done it for over 20 years. I still love to do it. It still transforms my life. You know, as I talk through the different women, and you know, sometimes people say, "I never knew that about that person. Who's the Syrophoenician woman? I never realized that about Leah." That's one of my favorites. Is Lynn knows, you know, and Susan knows. You know, most people said, "I had no idea about Leah," and that the messianic line comes through Abraham and Isaac, Abraham and Sarah, Isaac and Rebekah, and Jacob and Leah. And that God chose to take her son, Judah, to be in the lineage of Jesus Christ, not the favored one, and that Leah had such a prayer life. You know, and yet she was the unloved wife of Jacob. She was a victim of subterfuge. And I've had women, I'm a victim in this situation. And I said, and here's Peninnah, also unloved, but look at her choice. She chose to become bitter. So that's a mentoring tool I use all the time, is women of the Bible. So I know there's a lot here. We're out of time, but I'd be happy to, again, if you're interested in some of the specifics. There's just too much in mentoring women. I thought, there's just too many things that I could go into specifically. It's literally would take me days to go through it all, but the most important thing is a view of God, prayer, view of the Word, perseverance, ministry to others, encouragement, compassion, the spiritual, and then we launch into the practical. And I do that again from Genesis to Revelation, and I take all of the women of the Bible as a tool for mentoring. Okay, and I think, from what I understand, your dinner is at 4:55, and then the next session is at 6:55, so you have plenty of time, okay? I'll be down here for the next few minutes if you have questions, but I promised Brother Harold that we would be done in 45 minutes, and we started at 5 till, and it's 4:40, so I was a good girl, okay? Pray. Father, there's so much here. I wish I could have gone into more detail specifically, but I pray that you would work in every woman. Lord, help them to themselves to love you, to dig deep and mine the treasure chest of your word. Father, to have a right view of you, because they cannot give out what they do not have. And so I pray, Father, that this would be an opportunity for them to grow and then for them to be able to help women in all walks of life. And I pray this in Jesus' name.